Hello again, and welcome back. You should now be standing outside Princess Quay Shopping Centre at the start of stage two of our walk. This is the first real look we have of how Hull Town Docks used to be. In front of you, to your right, you will see the railings of the old Princess Dock. This was the third of Hull Town Docks, opened in 1829. We will see the second dock, now the marina, later on in the walk. So, if you step forward, you will see, fastened to the railings, a street sign which reads Monument Bridge. And yet, if you look around, there's no monument and no bridge. As I'm sure you now realise, this is a throwback to the days when this was an active, thriving dock area. Before 1930, where you're now standing was indeed a bridge, which, when opened, allowed the movement of ships between Princess Dock and Queen's Dock. The bridge would be raised and lowered for 30 or 40 minutes every hour, much to the frustration of pedestrians and motorists. Now to the monument. It still exists. It's a huge column and statue dedicated to William Wilberforce. It was situated just behind you at what is now the entrance to Princess Quay Shopping Centre. It was moved in 1934 as part of a traffic reorganisation. It now stands at the east end of Queen's Gardens, in front of Hull College. We'll get to see it later on in the walk. You'll be able to see how Victoria Square and Princess Dock used to look if you go to the Now and Then section of our website. So, if you can walk forward about 20 metres, and you will arrive at the site of what was Beverley Gate. This is where King Charles I was refused access to the town and the armaments that were stored within the walls. Hull was a fully walled town from the 14th right up to the middle of the 18th century, and Beverley Gate was the main entrance. By the mid-1750s, the walls were beginning to crumble, and in fact the north wall was demolished in the 1770s to make way for the Queen's Dock, which we now know has since become Queen's Gardens. It was here on St George's Day 1642 that the then governor of Hull, Sir John Hotham, refused King Charles access to the town, which at that time had the largest stash of weapons outside London.
Ooh, what can I hear? Have we drifted back to 1642? Stay close to the railings, keep quiet, and it should be okay.
Who goes there?
An emissary from His Majesty King Charles, who commands John Hotham, governor of this town, open these gates.
So, King Charles waits at the city gate, does he? 'Tis not me he travels from York to woo, but my position as controller of the largest arsenal of weapons in England.
Open! In the name of the king!
Never!
But you must, John. Who knows what will be unleashed otherwise?
I know what I unleash. These gates will remain closed.
Well, the gates did remain closed, and the king declared Sir John a traitor. And sadly, he met the fate of a traitor. This was the first act of defiance to the king at the beginning of the English Civil War. Although most of the North was royalist, in typical Hull style, they sided with Cromwell and the parliamentarians. There is a lot more information about Hull and the Civil War in the Want to Know More section of our website. We now move to the junction in front of you between Princess Dock Street and Whitefriar Gate, spelt Whitefriar Gate. This pronunciation is just one of Hull's many dialectic traits. We will return to Whitefriar Gate later on in the walk. Oh, and by the way, I hope you're managing okay with my accent. So, if you could now turn right and walk down Princess Dock Street for about 25 metres. You will notice I keep referring to Hull as a town. Well, this is because we didn't get city status until 1897, as part of Queen Victoria's Golden Jubilee celebrations. You should now be standing on the right-hand pavement of the entrance to Princess Dock Street. So let's have a look at the buildings on the other side. The second brick building in, with the two half-cellars with brick arches, was formerly Colonial Chambers, built in 1846. It is thought to be Hull's first purpose-built office block. As you can see, it's now a coffee shop and restaurant. Along the road next to Colonial Chambers is Rowland House. This was formerly Ferris Hospital Almshouse, built in 1822. This was before Princess Dock was opened. What with the building and then the operating of the dock, I don't think it could have been a very tranquil place to live. It now operates as offices for small businesses. Notice the triangular pediment above the door and the inverted anchor you can see in the centre of a shield. This is the coat of arms of Trinity House, who owned this property and all those along this stretch of the street, and right down to Trinity Square, which will be seen shortly. The striking building next to Rowland House, dated 1842, was the entrance to Trinity House Academy, a nautical college founded in 1787. The college moved to new modern facilities in 2013. Keep walking down Princess Dock Street until you reach, on your left, Postern Gate, spelt Postern Gate, our dialect again. And when you reach Postern Gate, please wait a moment. As you walk, on your right, you will see what was Junction Dock. It was called Junction Dock because when it opened in 1829, it was the junction between Humber Dock, now the marina, and Queen's Dock. This, in effect, made the then centre of Hull an island, which could only be accessed over one of four bridges. It was renamed Prince's Dock following the visit of Prince Albert and Queen Victoria in 1854. You can also see Prince's Quay Shopping Centre, built on stilts over the old Prince's Dock. It was opened in the early 90s. You can see how Prince's Dock looked in the late 50s if you go to the Now and Then section of our website. Now if you look down, you will see, set in the pavement, a metre-wide row of terracotta-coloured bricks. These are known as brindle bricks, and they're used to indicate the outline of the old town wall, including the turrets and the gates. Over 4.5 million bricks were used to build the wall, mostly made locally. It offered great protection during a very insecure period of English history, and it allowed the town and its inhabitants to really prosper. Well, here we are, opposite the end of Postern Gate. If you look down at the brindle bricks again, you will see the outline of a narrow gate in the town wall. This is, in fact, a postern, a gate which allowed one person in or out of the town at a time. It was a sort of checkpoint for when the main gates were closed. Oh, yes, and you'll notice across the street to the left there's a rather attractive row of Georgian houses. They're now mainly used as restaurants and coffee bars. This is a nice place to stop if you fancy a bite to eat or a cup of coffee. So, if you could now step back a couple of metres, try not to fall into Prince's Dock, and look to your right, and you will see what was Fairley & Company's mid-Victorian shipping office. It's now a very nice pub restaurant and well worth a visit. So now please cross over the street and walk down Postern Gate and keep to the right. On the right-hand corner of Postern Gate, you will see one of Hull's popular night spots. You may be thinking about going out clubbing tonight. Well, this is the place. It was built in 1831, and as you can probably tell, it started out life as a warehouse, but has been part of the Hull club scene since the early 70s. If you look down on the pavement, you will see, moulded in the bricks, a shoal of herring. These are part of the Hull fish trail, an alternative guide around the city. You will come across quite a few of these fishy images as we take our tour. So, keep walking down Postern Gate, and just before Zebedee's Yard, you will see, on your left, a typical townhouse, dated 1862. This would probably have been a wealthy merchant's house, perfectly located adjacent to the docks. So you can see, even back then, it was all about location, location, location. You may wish to visit Zebedee's Yard to see the memorial to the 6,000 fishermen who left Hull but sadly never returned. Carry on walking and soon you'll cross over Dagger Lane. Three guesses as to what was traded on this street. On the corner you will see The Mission, now a pub restaurant. But as you've probably guessed, this is not how it started out in life. It was a seaman's mission built in 1866, and it was put to its present use in 1995. If you were to visit, you would notice the compelling urge to speak in hushed tones. It really is quite odd. Opposite The Mission, the large pair of buildings with a passage between, is the one-time mercantile marine offices built in 1868 and extended in 1874. This is where, until the mid-1980s, ships' crews were engaged and discharged. Ooh, what can I hear in the background? Could it be the ghostly sound of monks? Well, coming into view, on the left, is Carmelite House. Now this is as interesting as much for the origins of the name as it is for the building itself. The name comes from the Carmelite Monastery that stood on the land in the 14th century. The monks, or friars, wore white robes, which gave the name to the street behind here, Whitefriargate, Whitefriargate. The building you can now see was completed in 1826 as an almshouse for Trinity House. It now serves as an annex to Trinity House College. You can find out more about Hull's monasteries and monks on the Want to Know More section of our website. Opposite Carmelite House is number 6 Postern Gate, and as the frieze above the door tells us, it was the parochial offices for Holy Trinity and St Mary's Church, and was built in 1864. Back over the street, next to Carmelite House, you will see a light-coloured square building, which used to be the Harriet Lorenz Hotel. It was used during the latter part of the 19th century to house and feed European migrants as they passed through Hull on their way to America. You can find out more about the 19th century migration via Hull to America in Hull's Railways in the Want to Know More section of our website. Now if you look up ahead of you, you will see the imposing dome and bell tower of Trinity Market. At the foot of the tower is the entrance to St Paul's Boxing Club. This is where Luke Campbell, Hull's bantamweight gold medalist from the 2012 Olympic Games, started his boxing career. Now please make your way to the end of Postern Gate and the corner of Trinity House Lane. Once there, you will have arrived at Trinity Square with the magnificent Hull Minster in front of you. You will hear about Hull Minster at the beginning of stage 3 of our walk. So please, for now, cross over the end of Trinity House Lane and stand outside Kingston Hotel pub and turn round. The impressive white building you can see opposite is Trinity House. It gets its name from Holy Trinity Church and a house originally set up to look after visiting seamen. It dates back to the 14th century. If you look up, you will see the magnificent pediment over the main entrance. I hope you agree the artwork really is superb. During the reign of Henry VIII in 1541, Trinity House was awarded a royal charter as the Guild of the Holy Trinity. The charter read that they might regulate the pilotage of ships in the King's streams. And these duties continue until the passing of the Pilotage Act in 1987. That's almost 450 years of service. Quite remarkable, I hope you'd agree. Also around here are two pubs of particular interest. First, the Kingston, the one just behind you. It's a typical mid-Victorian pub with one room built around a central bar. The other one is the Bonny Boat. It's on the right down Trinity House Lane. It is known to have traded as early as 1791. And again, it has a single room with lots of fascinating objects which reflect Hull's nautical past. Incidentally, if you fancy a bite to eat, you could continue down Trinity House Lane and you will see Bob Carver's fish and chip shop and restaurant on the right-hand side. On the menu, you will find Hull's foremost culinary delicacy, patty, chips and mushy peas. Other restaurants in the area are available. Okay, so you're now at the end of stage 2 of our walk. When you're ready to move on, please go back to the centre of Trinity Square, face the main entrance of the Minster and press stage 3 on your handset.